This is a Collider.com audio interview.
Okay. Couldn't have picked a quieter place. Right?
Radio people love it.
Unbelievable. Justin, come on, buddy. Double time. Hustle over. Quick flirting, and here you go. Look at him. Come on. Come on, buddy. Get in there.
Yeah, I'll see you in a bit.
We got to get Len back to the editing room so he can actually finish the movie.
1 o'clock.
And I'm Bruce Willis for RC Cola. Come on. He literally is. Got to
play to the microphone.
Play to the microphone. How you doing? How's everybody doing?
This.
You guys aren't smoking weed out there, are you?
I'm kidding.
I'm smoking weed.
Nice.
Well, then there goes my second question.
Three diehards, it seemed like John McClane was a reluctant hero who didn't really want to be in those situations. From the footage we saw last night, it seems like he's kind of embraced his role as the action hero.
Really?
Is that the case?
No, it's not the case. No. I'm ultra reluctant now. I'm extra reluctant now.
I'm just curious, as still, making the movie.
So what you think?
What made you think that he was not as reluctant?
He really took charge of
Oh well, when the man's pushed in the corner.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Part of the one of the things that a friend of ours said early on, a kid named Jason Smilovic who wrote Lucky Number 11, came up with the idea that the phrase the mythology of Die Hard, and part of the mythology of Die Hard is that John McClane loves his country, loves his family, that he's not going to let anybody hurt anyone that can't really defend themselves, which is, I think, the situation that you're talking about in Matt's apartment. A jet may be landing right here.
I is unbelievable.
Carrier jet. But yeah, I think given a choice.
It's like the craziest place to do that.
It's unbelievable.
It is. I'm just going to get a couple of these wall cuts right here.
But given a choice, I would, being able to not have to do what I do in this film or any of the Die Hard films, I wouldn't do it.
Right. Is your character being a very protective, if not a protective father? And I'm just wondering for yourself, can you relate to that aspect of his personality?
I can relate to it, but I don't. That's just kind of overly dramatized in the film. My relationship with my daughters is a lot more upfront than that, and what we've done as parents is to try to send the girls out into the world with as much information about what those 16 and 18 year old boys are thinking. We asked Justin
and 28.
What they're thinking, and 28 year old boys and 52 year old boys are thinking, and hopefully that'll keep them safe. But yeah, it's just dramatized in the film, and actually, the character of Lucy McClane was not in the original draft of this film. It was an idea that kind of came to us as we went along, and Mary Elizabeth Winstead really did a great job in this film, and brought a lot of her own kind of McClaneisms to the film, and helps out in a way towards the end of the film that is both funny and both is a McClaneism.
Where did the footage stop that you guys saw?
Right after, I think, when he says that you tell me you're the criminal, you tell me.
Okay.
Right before our love scene.
Right. Okay. So before that.
Right before the first kiss.
Really?
Yeah. Go ahead.
It's gonna go down.
You guys did it.
In the life of God, I knew your own daughter's boyfriend.
Not hard at all. I just tell him I want to meet him. That's the only thing that I ask for. And I just, give him that look. giving that little look. And you know what? I always put one of them in charge. You know, if they, you know, bring a little group of guys over to the house to have a pool party or whatever, I just say, dude, what's your name? And he says, Sinjin. I said, Sinjin, you're in charge. If anything happens to one of my daughters, I'm coming to you first, and then I'm going to kill all your friends right in front of you. Then you'll be last. Yeah, and so Sinjin generally is.
Sinjin,
if you're listening to this.
That's the guy's name.
Oh, really?
Sinjin is a real name. These kooky names they come also, up with.
I got to say, I had the chance to, the good fortune of meeting the daughter, and they're all very smart. They're very, like, they're on this whole other, very elevated. I was never very aware and kind of,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Wise. They would, they both made fun of us mercilessly.
They really did.
I'm still
they're
wearing
just,
it.
They're really,
who was teasing
scout,
me about the ring?
Scout. Scout. They're making fun of
wear
man
the press conference.
But in a really witty, like, kind of, like, mature way, they were all very funny, and, like, they're very, like, aware and smart.
They are.
So someone did a good job.
Are all of you with the press corps, or are you just some of you out here having a picnic, and you thought you'd sit in today?
They want to watch the dog fight.
Yeah.
Two-part question.
One-part question.
Okay. I can't hear you if you have the thing. The microphone.
We'll get you in a minute, Gail.
We'll get you in a minute, Gail.
Two-part question. Bruce, if you can tell me a little bit about how you hooked up with Len, how he came to your attention, and how you sort of chose him. And then Len, most challenging thing for you directing a film like this compared to maybe your previous ones? Is there something surprising?
I'll field that one.
Yeah, if you can handle that for both of us.
I don't know. I can't really remember what I was doing last week. So to answer a question about something that happened a year ago, I'm just kidding. I remember. You know what? I just sat down with him, and my daughter Scout actually told me that even before I met Len and before we sat down to talk about doing the film, my daughter Scout turned me on to Underworld, and we stayed up one night watching it, and I thought it was great. And it just so happened that a couple weeks later, Fox asked me to sit down with him, and it was a pretty easy choice to make. We both had similar ideas about and similar goals as to the kind of Die Hard we wanted to make. It's really easy to sit here and talk about the film now because it really did turn out great. I mean, it's, you know, unfortunately you guys only saw 20 minutes of it, but the film rocks. I mean, it's actually one of my favorite diehards.
It's your fourth favorite.
The favorite. And the weakest link really was Justin. And
I'll second that.
And
genuinely.
But we both wanted to make to stay away from the CG aspects of you know, which would have been a real easy thing to do with a you know, film like this, to try to compete with every other CG film that's out this summer. And what was the second part of your question? I can't remember the thing.
Just for Len, you know. Mm-hmm.
For Len.
The most challenging thing about this type of film, I mean, you've made some action films, but the scale of it.
I mean, I gotta say, like, the scale of it wasn't so much the problem. I found that honestly more fun to have the ability and the toys to use to do action the proper way and all that. So that was fun for me. But the I guess the most challenging would be because it is part of a trilogy and one that I'm very close to. And the biggest challenge I would say is that I'm. You know, I kind of have two responsibilities. I thought, you know, one is to direct the film, the other is to watch it as the fan that I am. And so I'd always look at it that way. That's my biggest challenge when I'm in meetings, when I'm talking about the script, when I'm every aspect of is this going to be the movie that I want to see? Because I'm only doing it because I'm a fan. And so that was honestly the biggest challenge. The other stuff was just, you know, it can be headaches and it can be challenging, but it's for the most part it's fun to, you know, blow shit up and have the
it's the most fun.
It's the most fun. It really is fun. That's fun. So that was the biggest challenge for me.
It was a tough shooting schedule too. It was a really bizarre shooting schedule.
Still happening.
That's okay.
Mm-hmm. And you do a lot of different things.
Yep.
You film movies, you did this hip hop project, mm-hmm. you supported and so on. Why revisit something that you said 12 years old before you even started?
I could have. It's a really good question. I could have waited for the plane. I could have very easily chosen to retire undefeated. I mean, the first three diehards have earned something somewhere around $1.3 billion in international revenues and DVD sales and all that. But in retrospect, I was never really that. I was never as happy with the second and third one as I was with the first one. And I always wanted to do one more and see if we could come close to the quality and the feel and just the, I don't know, just the level of drama and at the same time, I don't know, just the elements of the first film. The potential to fail was really high. It was really great, and it's I can't tell you how good it feels to be sitting here talking about a film that I've already seen and know is really strong and really powerful and really satisfies me in a way that it was something I set out to do. I wanted to do, and I'm a gambler by nature. You know, I'd rather take a risk than not, and you guys have seen some of the risks that I've taken that didn't succeed. I think you know those films better than I do. The one with the shorts on the boat.
Which one?
Remember that one?
Striking Shorts, yeah.
Excuse me. I remember saying before that film, how bad can it be?
You got to work with Sarah Jessica Parker.
Hi, Bruce.
Hi.
This is for two questions. First one's for Lance and Bruce. This is, of course, a movie with pretty intense sequences, and I just wanted to know if you can give me an average of how long would each one of those scenes take to film and the physical struggle. And for Justin, did you ever get teased from anybody on the crew about playing a computer geek in this movie and being on the Mac commercials?
Mostly behind my back. Never really. You guys want to answer the? My answer will be pretty long and involved.
Steven. What was the question?
Did I ever get?
Well, you'd have to give me one of the sequences that you're talking about, and I could give you an idea.
The bridge, for instance.
Which?
The one. I'm sorry. The one in the tunnel. Sorry.
How long did that take?
Yeah.
I mean, total. I mean, we were in there for
first unit.
Yeah, first unit was in there for maybe.
Two weeks.
It was pretty short. It was we were in there
just
for about
before
a week.
Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
just we were in there for about. I would say almost 10 days, probably 8 or 9
feels
days.
Feels like 10 days.
Felt like 10 days, but second unit was in there doing the actual, like that car that you see flipping in the ad. I don't know if you saw it in the 20-minute section you saw. Did you see it?
Okay.
But that car is a real car flipping that they cabled up and got up on cables, and I think they did it. I think they did it. I don't know, 6 or 7 times before they were happy with it. So how long were they in there?
They were in there for a long time.
Oh,
I can't remember how long. Yeah, because that's also where
crashing cars
where we were doing the helicopter with the car, the police car going into the helicopter business. That was all at that location. Actually, we did that stunt.
Oh, right.
We did that stunt twice, and hit it on the second one, and the car
helicopter.
Flip. No, the,
oh,
car,
the car
flip. Car flip. Yeah.
I have to go back and correct all my interviews. I added a little bit. To that. Anyway, probably about a month time in that tunnel.
I'd never done a movie like this, and it was just crazy for me to see how long and involved all these stunts and sequences were, and then. You see the movie, and you sort of forget what you're doing. You forget, like, the final, what the means to the end is, or what the end is going to be. And then you see it, and all those weeks and weeks of, like, waiting and, like, setups and this, just fades in, like, seconds of film. And you know, these scenes that I freaked out about where I was doing push-ups and trying to get in carriage and, like, delivering all these lines.
Like,
and, like, they're just like, bah! And then, like, cut to another guy. Cut to, like, and I'm like, back to me going, bah! You know, it's like, it really is. I have a friend who works on the show CSI Miami, and he said, I was freaking out about the character, and he said, you're not going to have time to look good or bad. Probably it's just gonna, you know, it's just gonna be like a quick shot of you going meh, and then that's it. So it was, it's amazing that, like, just considering all the time that you guys are probably used to, but I was like, I've never done a movie like this, and it was overwhelming to be a part of it. And then you see it, and it's like, oh, it's really fast. And then it was over. And in terms of people making fun of me, they did for many reasons. And I think lower on the list,
not just
the geek thing. No, there's a whole like a feminine thing. The whole like, I have three testicles. There's a lot of like, you know.
But just don't show your testicles.
I can't help it. I win a lot of money that way. I don't think anybody ever really, you know. Everyone was bothering me about getting an iPhone. I remember it one day when that was announced. They were like, I want an iPhone. I was like, you know, people that never talked to me were like, hey, Justin. I don't think anybody ever... Was that a concern of the...
God, I mean, it wasn't on us. I don't know what...
No.
Anything that you had heard.
But I guess you were talking more about real life as opposed to the...
Right.
The film.
I mean, real life... Well, people do often come up to me and, you know... The funny thing about people recognizing me about the Mac thing is they're always very casual about it. And they never seem at all impressed. They're just very like, oh, there's a tree, there's a pole, there's the Mac guy, there's a... You know, it's very like, kind of, they're very, always very nonchalant about it. I don't know why, you know, why they wouldn't be, but... And people also ask me a lot of questions about computers that I know... I play a hacker in this movie, and I know I have to deliver a lot of, like, exposition about, like, well, the algorithm is contracted into a... I can't even, like...
That was the one thing I was surprised about when we met, is how much you don't know about computers.
Yeah, I'm very, very computer illiterate.
You sell books. Doesn't know about computers.
So I just think it's sort of funny that for somebody who is as, you know... retarded as I am is playing these smart hacker guys. I get the worst of both worlds. I look like a geeky hacker, but I don't know anything about computers, so I
it's a lose-lose.
It's a lose-lose, yeah.
Over the years, it seems since Die Hard 3 came out, people have, you know, there's been talks of storylines, like there's one about you and Ben Affleck in the jungle or something like that. What made this particular one be the one that you decided, finally, let's do it?
That movie did come out, with you and Ben in the jungle.
It was Cole
Hauser. I dug it. Yeah.
It was Cole Hauser.
Yeah,
Ben wasn't in
sorry.
Just seemed like the right time, you know. It was a good script, and a bunch of different elements conspired to kind of bring it together. At a certain point, it's just a leap of faith, you know. I just had to say, let's take a shot. I liked what Len had to say about the film, and I was pretty confident in the fact that. If we got a good story, that we could improve upon that, and which is what we ultimately did. But at the end of the day, when it's the 11th and a half hour, you know, you just gotta say, here we go. And look, it could have sucked. We could have been we could be sitting here going, trying to get you excited about it, and the really rewarding thing is to know that we have a great film. When I first saw the first cut of this film, I was so impressed and relieved at the same time. And it's kind of, it really is kind of counter-programming to what's out there this summer. But the Ben Affleck thing, I don't know where that came. I heard that story too.
I heard that too. I'd heard a lot of stories about different.
A lot of rumors out there. Are you an internet guy? Yeah, there you go. A lot of rumors out there on the internet. You did that.
Oh, really?
Are you serious?
Oh,
yeah?
Shit. Are you kidding me?
I saw those.
Really? I heard about you were telling me a story about somebody that pitched you an idea of it's Die Hard in a building.
Oh yeah,
it had gotten it had come complete full circle. He said, "But it's a really big building."
I went.
With the movie about a month away, Len, can you tell us what's still left to finish, and also what the running time?
I can tell you right now because they're all texting me about getting back to finish those parts. We're in the final mix right now, so we're doing all the sound work and score and all that stuff. So that's where it's at right now. A lot of the visual effects, you know, you're always doing the fine tweaking and things.
What's going to be the final runtime?
final running time is it's right at about 2 hours.
Can you follow up with Justin?
Yeah.
Can you talk about the footage we saw? It seemed like you maybe improv some of your lines. Was that all scripted? Was there improv?
Yeah, there was. There's they always wanted us to do a bunch scripted, but the script was sort of in a constant state of flux, and so there was definitely. And Bruce, you did some. There's a lot of that going on, yeah. And I also in those moments of sort of like extreme. I'm always scared for my life. It's kind of hard to stick to. You kind of have to bring something a bit more natural in what's inside. And some of the, you know, the dialogue was not exactly solidified. And so there was a lot of that. I'm just surprised he left a lot of it in. I was really, really surprised.
A lot of. I'm actually with both these guys here. I mean, a lot of the, a lot of the comedy. Is really just you get there on the day, and it's what you know. The script is a roadmap for that kind of thing. But then just the energy of what comes out of that day and different ideas and things. And a lot of it has made the movie. It really.
But also we didn't shoot the film in sequence. Very few films are shot in sequence. And had we shot the film in sequence, we might have stuck a little bit closer to the dialogue, but we had to shoot alternate takes of almost every scene in case the scene that we didn't shoot that was going to be scheduled a month from now turned out to either be in the film or not be in the film. There was one scene, the scene that had to do with Kevin Smith, that we called the Warlock scene because that's the name of his character. And we only had Kevin Smith for 3 days. And it was a really locked-in 3 days. And anything that we didn't know if it was going to be in the film or not, we said, we just put in the Warlock scene. So by the time we got to Kevin Smith's scene, it was a 9-page scene. Unfortunately, we had shot enough of the film that we knew what we needed from that scene and what we didn't need from it. And Kevin Smith actually helped us write a lot of that scene. Or
I would say, do not try this at home. It's my home. I mean, That was a challenging part to go back to that other question.
Yes.
I mean, it was to shoot a film so out of sequence. It was really
not
difficult.
The best way. To
go
make
ahead, Alan. Last question.
Bruce, there's no way I can ask this question without sounding like I'm saying act your age. But I remember a couple of years ago, you said you thought that your days were numbered in terms of doing this sort of action film that audiences. Might not expect a guy to do things he was doing in his 30s when he's in his 50s. What do you think about that, having gone through the process of making?
Well, I know a cop. I know a lot of cops that are actually my age, and if you get in shape, I mean, I'm living testament to the fact that you can do a film like this and still survive. I had to work out a lot to get my muscles to the size that they protected my bones so my bones wouldn't shatter when I dove onto the concrete floor. But I lived through it. I mean, I get beat up, and you see that happen on screen. But I'm glad I didn't wait a couple more years. Don't try this at home. There was a lot of healing. I wish I had kept a running log of the wear and tear and how much actual hide got scraped off me.
Does that mean this is the last night I heard of you?
I'm sorry?
Does this mean this is the last night?
No, I don't think so. I think that Fox is already talking about doing another one. I told them I would only do it if Len is involved.
And
Maggie Q. And Justin, of course. Yeah, because we can't do it without Justin.
You know, and I got to say, I've been asked that question a few times, and the thing is, like, you're... I mean, it's been... It's been 12 years? 9 years. Since Die Hard 3.
Well, I think 10 years, 95, so 12 years since Die Hard 3. And 21 years is the span of all four of them. So you can see me when I'm 31, and you can see me when I'm 52, and, you know, you guys will decide. There are moments in the film where you see me getting up a little slower, and I do things that
I think you were,
probably
I mean,
shouldn't
when we
first do.
Said, I mean, you're, I think you're much... better shape than you were in the third one.
For sure, I was in much better shape on this one than I was in the third. Because I was supposed to be a kind of beat up alcoholic cop in that one, and I spent years
researching that role. No, not the cop part. Can you give him the mic? I can't hear him. Don't get mad. Go ahead.
Do you go back and see the old ones at all?
I looked at them just before we started shooting this, and I know I liked the first one. I looked at the second and third one and said, can't do that, can't do that, can't do that, can't do that. One of the rules we had was that we banned ourselves from being self-referential. The second film, if you go back and look at the second film, there's so many fucking references to how to referring to the first film, and it was such bullshit. I just hated it. It was just really a stupid thing. I like jumping out of the helicopter onto the wing of that plane. I like that from the second one. But I'd have to look at it to tell you if there's anything else I really
like. The icicle through the eye.
That was good.
That's Reginald Johnson.
One of my favorite parts of Die Hard when people ask me, like, what's
JJ's dad?
What's your favorite action sequence? I go, you know what? It comes down to like a shot in Die Hard 1 that I had never seen before in any kind of action film, and that when you're down on the ground and shooting at the guy running at you, and it pops the guy in the kneecaps.
Oh, yeah.
And he gets popped in the kneecaps, and then he falls forward. He doesn't go through the glass, just his head goes through the glass.
Yeah.
And it was
a great stunt.
Yeah, I'd never seen anything like that.
Yeah, I've seen that in real life.
Have you?
Well, thank you guys very much, and thanks for spending your afternoon in the park.
Thank you. And now back to our third job. Are you guys not from the United States?
No.
What is this?
I'm from Wisconsin.